110. So we're dealing with the statement the Gemara had said, Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Eim Lo Kruya Mishpacha. And the Gemara challenged that. How could you say the Mishpachas Eim Lo Kruya Mishpacha? We have a verse in the book of Shoftim, the book of Judges, describing Yonatan, the priest of Pesel Micha, who we know was a Levi, he was the descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu, the grandson of Moshe, and he's described as being Ben Yehuda. So doesn't that prove that Mishpachas Eim, Kruya Mishpacha? So Gemara said, no, not necessarily. Why is he described as being from Yehuda? Because he was acting like Menashe, like the son of Chizkiyahu, who was from Yehuda. Even though his father was very righteous and a monotheist, he became in Oved Avodah Zarah. But maybe Mishpachas Eim Eina Kruya Mishpacha. So that's what the Gemara had said. So okay, let's start then about halfway up in the wider lines on Kuf Testament Beis. Amar Belazar, Belazar said a rule, La'olam Yidabek Adam B'Tovim. A person should always seek to marry into a good family so that his wife is righteous and her siblings are righteous and her parents are righteous, because then the kids will be righteous. Shere Moshe Nasa Bas Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu married the daughter of Yisro. Yisro was a priest for idolatry. Yatzri Menu Yonatan. So he wasn't around only righteous people. His wife didn't only grow up with righteous examples. And he had a descendant, Yonatan, who, you know, was a priest to the idols. Whereas Aharon, he didn't marry the daughter of Yisro. Aharon married a very righteous woman, Bas Aminadav, the daughter of Aminadav. We know there was Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon was the leader of the tribe of Yehudah. According to the Medrash, when we got to the Yamsuf, he jumped in first. He walked until the waters reached his nostrils, and they split. So Aaron marries the brother, the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadav. And Yatzri Menu Pinchas, Aaron gets a very righteous descendant, Pinchas. Pinchas is a zealot for God. So the Gemara says, one second, how can you say that? Pinchas lav mi Yisro, asi, doesn't Pinchas also come from Yisro? The verse says that not about Aaron, but about Aaron's son, Elazar ben Aaron, lakach lo mibnos Putiel lo liisha. He took one of the daughters of Putiel as his wife. My lav, isn't that to asi mi Yisro, that he took a daughter of Yisro, or a descendant of Yisro? And why is Yisro called Putiel? Shepitem agalam lavodah zara. He fattened up calves for the idols. Lo, it means that he married a descendant of Yosef. Yosef is called Putiel, Shepitpeit b'Yitzro, that Yosef discounted his evil urge. So Gemara says, how could you say that Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef? V'alo shvatim v'azimosa. We know that after Pinchas killed Zimri and Kazbi, the tribes were disgracing him. V'omrim, and they were saying, v'isim ben Puti zed. Did you see this ben Puti, the descendant of Puti? Ben, a child, Shepitim Avi'imo, that the father of his mother fattened up Agalam Lavodah Zarah, because the father of his mother was Putiel, was Yisro. He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. Yarub Nasi Shevet Mi Yisrael. Is he going to kill a prince of one of the tribes of Israel? So Gemara says, we have to say, based on that Medrash, that yes, Pinchas was a descendant of Yisro. So we can say like this, Ela Iavua Di'ime Mi Yosef. It could be that if the father of his mother, the father of his mother, was from Yosef, Ime Di'ime, the mother of his mother, was a daughter of Yisro. Or Yavua Di'ime Mi Yisro, if the father of his mother was in fact from Yisro, Ime Di'ime Mi Yosef, the mother of his mother was from Yosef. So he was both from Yosef and from Yisro. So you don't have to say that she was actually the daughter of Yisro. But you know that Elazar took a descendant of Yisro and Yosef, and Pinchas maybe was the fourth generation from Yisro or the fifth generation from Yisro. And bottom line, he wasn't as close as Yonatan. Yonatan was the third generation from Yisro, and that's because that was his, grandfather, and this is the family that Moshe Rabbeinu marries into. It has a bad influence. Whereas Aharon, his son Elazar, also marries into that family, but much further down the line. Since it was further down the line, it didn't have an influence on Aharon's descendant. On the contrary, Pinchas was influenced by the more positive influences. Tekanami, I will just prove it to you, the Chassid, because it says, Mibnos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. Tarte, so it sounds like there are multiple Putiim. It says Putiel with a Yud, not Putael with an Aleph. It's Tes Yud Aleph Lamed, so that implies that there are multiple Putiim. Shmami Nadi is both from Yisro and from Yosef. Yeah, David, a question.
Does this Gemara disagree that Yisro was a Tzaddik? I mean, it sounds like they think he was a Rasha.
Or he had, well, he was a Baal Tshuva.
We hold Baal Tshuvas in high esteem.
Yeah, but maybe that happened later, right? We don't know at what point he became the Baal Tshuva.
Well, by the time Pinchas, three generations.
Okay, but still, you know, the daughter may have been born before he was such a Baal Tshuva.
It was a Baal Tshuva or convert.
A convert,
but
yeah.
I'm saying, one of the same. I'm saying the point is, we, you know, it's called Yisrael. We kind of generally think of him as...
Yeah, we do think highly of Yisrael. So it's an interesting thing, right, that the Gemara seems to be so critical because he worked for Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara goes back to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson and Pinchas. Amar Rava, Rava said, a rule, Hanose Isha, when you marry a woman, Tzarek Sheyivduk Bachel, you have to check out her brothers. Because apparently, if you want to, when you get married, you have to be thinking about the nature of the children. And most of the children will be like the siblings of the wife. Shenemar, that's what the Pasuk says. Vayikach Aaron es Elisheva bas Aminadav. Aaron married Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadav. She was Achos Nachshon. She was the sister of Nachshon. So Mimashma Shenemar bas Aminadav. Once it says she's the daughter of Aminadav, and I know Nachshon is the son of Aminadav. So of course I know that she's the sister of Nachshon. Why is it stressed that she's the sister of Nachshon? Because that's what he was looking at. Mikan, from here you see, one who marries a woman has to check out her brothers. Tan, as we were learned in a Braisa, Rov Bani, most of the children, Domin La'achia, Aim are going to be like the siblings of the mothers. I was listening to Rabbi Elephant's Dafyomi Shir yesterday. So he quoted, I didn't catch the name, he quoted someone who said that, you know, the Gemara says often about Kohanim, Kohanim is reason him. Kohanim are very diligent. They rush to do things right away. So we know that that's true about Nachshon ben Aminadav, because Nachshon ben Aminadav, they got to the Red Sea, the sea wasn't splitting, but he was the energetic, diligent one. He jumped in, he walked with faith, and then eventually when the waters got to his nostrils, the waters split. So why are the Kohanim diligent? Because since the children always follow the brothers of the wife, and Aaron married the sister of Nachshon. He married the sister of Nachshon because he saw the diligence of Nachshon. Said, I want to have children who will be like the brothers of my wife. So his children, the Kohanim, is reason him. They all have that diligence, that excitement of Nachshon ben Aminadav. For sure, many examples. That's one of the big yichus, right? You've got to watch who the... When you make a match for your son, you have to watch who the siblings of his bride are. The siblings of his bride, they're going to really have... that's a good example of what's going to come out of that match. In fact, I saw here on the website about one of the Dafyomi websites, they quote Rabbeinu Bachaye on Bereshis chapter 24, verse 3. He writes, there's a custom amongst Jews to read Parshas Chayesara, which says all about Yitzchak marrying Rivka to a groom on the day of his wedding, to remind everybody what to look for in a match. Don't look for, I guess so, but I guess to maybe to confirm that he looked for the right things. So number one, don't look for a woman who's beautiful or for the sake of her beauty. Because the pasuk says sheker achein vehevel ayofi, beauty is passing. Don't look for money, because money always can grow wings and fly away. Don't look for power, because, oh, you know, I'll marry this woman, she has powerful relatives, I'll become powerful. On the contrary, a person should look to marry, l'shem shamayim, to be stuck with a good family, because the children are going to follow the character of the mother's family, just like wine has the taste of the barrel that it steeps in. In other words, Rabbeinu Bachaya says, right, the baby is going to steep inside the mother's womb. So whatever her character is, that's going to be what's going to come out, just like the wine has the flavor of the barrel that it's in. So you should look to make sure to marry a woman from a good family. That's this Gemara. Look at the brothers of the wife to make sure that it'll be a good, hopefully good basics, good character traits.
Rabbi, can I, first I want to say, let me say, Rabbi, it's too late for now for him.
No, it's because now you're telling us all this.
I've lived 32 years ago.
No, you should have been learning.
Rabbi, where were you for 35, 6 years ago?
Baruch Kabod.
In the corner. In the corner.
Somebody call Lloyd, please.
Surprise, saying it, because there's no better story than Yaakov. Lavan. Mm. Lavan was a brother first.
Yeah, but that was before the Torah was given.
And Yaakov had Esav. And he ended up having Esav.
And he had Esav.
Look at Dina and her brothers. They wouldn't have to
know.
Before
the Torah. There's always exceptions.
So going back to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, the pasuk says in Shoftim that the tribe of Dan had not yet conquered their territory. They send five people to scout out their land, and when they see Micha's idol, they recognize Yonatan, Vayasurusham. They go to the house of Micha, Vayomrulo, and they say to Yonatan, what are you doing here? Mi aviyacha halom, who brought you here? Ma'ata osabazeh, what are you doing in this place? Umalachapo, what's your business over here? So three sentences, all saying the same thing, what are you doing here? So Amrullah, they say to him, Lav mi Moshe ka'asis, aren't you Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson? It says about Moshe these words, Al tikav halom, don't come close here to the burning bush. Lav mi Moshe ka'asis, don't you come from Moshe? It says about him, Mazeh biyadecha, what's this in your hand, this staff, and throw it down, make it into a snake. Lav mi Moshe ka'asis, don't you come from Moshe? It says about him, Va'ata and you, po, here, Amodi Madi, stand with me on Mount Sinai. So you're from Moshe Rabbeinu, Tayasa Kohen Lavodah Zarah. So you're going to become an attendant to idol worship. What are you doing? You're Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. So Amar Lahan. So Yonatan said, I learned from Moshe Rabbeinu to do this. Kach Mekublani Beis Avi Abba. This is the tradition from my father's father, from Moshe, which is what Moshe told his son Gershom. When I heard it, Lo Olam Yaskir Adam Atzmo Lavodah Zarah Val Yitzarech Labriel. So person should never look for charity, should never be someone who needs the help of others and asks for the help of others. Better to hire yourself out to Avodah Zarah and not need the help of others. So I needed money. Apparently he was someone who really wanted money very badly, so I needed a job. I took the job at Micha's idol, Micha's church. Now he thought that what his grandfather said was that for the sake of money, a person could even take Avodah Zarah Mamash, a job of idol worship. Although he was misinterpreting what his grandfather meant. What his grandfather meant was Avodah Zarah, Avodah Shazara Lo. Let's say you have a prominent person, and it's not respectful for him to be a janitor, not respectful for him to be a street cleaner. If he needs the money, he should go be a street cleaner. It is respectful. But avodah, a work shazaralo, that's strange to him, but not that he should do what we euphemistically call avodah zara, idolatry and paganism, that we can't do for money. Kedamer le Rav Rav Kahana, like Rav used to tell Rav Kahana, nitosh nevilta b'shuka, better to be someone skinning a nevela, some dead animal in a market, ushkol agra, and take the couple pennies that you get for that. Below Tema, don't say Gavar Rabbah, I'm a very prominent and important person. V'zila b'milsa, this is disgraceful to me. No, there's nothing disgraceful about earning an honest wage. And it's amazing to earn an honest wage. Much better than going around door to door and soliciting and begging and needing help. But not to say that a person should go worship idols for money. So that was, unfortunately, Yonatan's mistake. So the truth is, Yonatan, the Medrash says, he wasn't really loyal to Pesel Micha. You know, people would come to Pesel Micha, would try to dissuade them from actually doing the service. But this was his job. His job was to work for Pesel Micha. So later, he did tshuva, apparently. And came on Shirah David, when King David saw Shemamon Chavavalav, that he really loved money so much, Biyoter. So we know Allah Otsos, he made him in charge of the treasury. Shenamra, that's what the verse calls this person, Shvuel, ben Gershom ben Menashe. Shvuel, son of Gershom, son of Menashe, was Nagid Allah Otsarot, was appointed over the treasuries. What do you mean? Shvuel Shmo, Yonatan Shmo, his name is Yonatan. Amrev Yochanan, he was called Shvuel, Sheshav La'el B'chalibo. He returned to God with all of his heart. Okay.
Rabbi, whose idea was it for Avodah Zarah?
Well, he was misinterpreting the line of his grandfather. His grandfather's line was a person should do Avodah Shehi Zaralo, a work that is strange to him and not need the help of others. And he interpreted that person should do Avodah Zarah. He should do idolatry before needing the help of others. Right?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. You're supposed to kill yourself to avoid helping out of Avodah Zarah.
Rabbi, how do we reconcile this, the livelihood issue with, you know, somebody who sits and learns?
So that's, you know, the question of someone sitting and learning, that's a big issue. The Rambam takes this Gemara very literally. He says that even someone who's learning should also be out there working elsewise, let's say as a doctor, like the Rambam himself. But Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that that was okay for the Rambam. He was a big genius, but unfortunately nowadays people don't have the ability to do both. He doesn't believe anyone could do both. So he says that therefore we need to have Torah. So since we need to have Torah, so that is the work. The guy is working hard learning, and the rest of us as the community have to support him to keep Torah, to keep having Torah in our community.
Rabbi, very tough here, because
yes, that's right.
Telling me, go and help Avodah.
No, it was a mistake. It was a distortion by Yonatan.
And didn't we also learn another Gemara that a common person, like a rabbi, doesn't even have to return or an
object? So it's not respectful to him. But that was for others, but this is for himself. If he needs the money, he should work in a market in order to not be a charity collector. There's nothing disgraceful about an honest wage.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, a long life.
So how does that work?
They a said long life. Rewarded. Just waiting for Avodah Zarah.
He used to just, right. It's an amazing
well,
thing.
That answers your question. You're saying he lived a long time.
Lived a very long time. So that's what the footnote of the art school points out, because he would dissuade the people who were coming. He lived for a long time. That's right. Okay, now going back to the order, the hierarchy of inheritance. Again, the Mishnah teaches that sons inherit, and if there are no sons and no descendants of sons, then the father would inherit. If there are no descendants, if there's no father, then the brother, paternal brother inherits. If there's no paternal brother, then the uncle, the brother, or father would inherit. Abanim Esav, the children inherit the father. The sons inherit the father. So the Gemara now asks really two questions. Number one, how do we know that a daughter inherits ever? How do we know that the only time the daughter inherits is when there are no sons? But when there is a son, the son inherits and not the daughter. I mean, Ellen, how do we know this? The pasuk says, Ish kiyamus, if a man will die, and then the pasuk says, Uven ain lo, and he doesn't have a son, Vavartas nachlas alabito, then you will transfer over the inheritance to his daughter. So time of day lo ben, so when does the daughter get? Only when he doesn't have a son. Hayesh lo ben, but if there is a son, ben kodim, the son gets and not the daughter. Amalei Rav Papa la Abaye. Yeah.
If the daughter gets it?
If there's no son.
So what was all the whole issue with Salah?
That was after they asked, right? This pasuk is said after they asked. Before they had asked, it seemed that only the sons would get. Then they ask, and Hashem says, "You're right. If there's no son, you give it to them." So, Amaler Papa Abaye, Papa said to Abaye, "Why don't you read the pasuk differently? Amar, read it like this: Ika ben, if there's a son, liros ben, and the son inherits. Ika bas, and if there's a daughter, tiros bas, the daughter inherits." Ika ben ubas, if there's a son and a daughter, lo hai liros for lo hai liros, then neither inherit. But what? So Gemara says, ve'elaman liros, so who's going to inherit if there's a son and a daughter? Atu bar kasha demasa liros, the government is going to inherit? I don't know what's going on. If the, you say, the verse says, if there's no son, you give to the daughter. That implies if there is a son, you give to the son. So you say, no, maybe if there's a son without a daughter, you give to the son. If there's a daughter without a son, you give to the daughter. And if there's both a son and a daughter, neither. Neither? So who gets? The government? So the Gemara says, no. Hachikami, this is what it means. Ika ben, this is what I meant. Ika ben ubas, if there's a son and a daughter, lo hai liros kule, lo hai liros kule, then not the son should inherit it all, nor should the daughter inherit it all. Ela ki adadi lirsu, but let them each inherit half. Amale abaye. So what does that mean? That would mean that a daughter is an equal to a son. And that makes no sense. Why do I need a verse to say that if there's no boy, the girl gets it? Do I need a pasuk to tell me, brother, if there's only one boy, that he gets all of the possessions? Of course. If there are two boys, they would divide it. If there's only one, he gets it. So if you're going to say a daughter is the same as a son, then and when there is a son and a daughter, they divide it. So then do I need a verse to say that if there's no son, the daughter gets it all? It's like one son getting it all, of course. So I wouldn't need a verse then. Whereas, no, Vidilma, but maybe. Hakamashman, this is the Chiddush. Bas Nami, Bas Yerushahi, that a daughter can inherit. But if there are, in fact, a son and a daughter, then they do divide it. And that verse, give to the daughters, to just say that the daughter could get. So Gemara says, no. Ahu, that we already know from another verse, that a daughter can inherit. The verse says, v'chol bas yereshes nachala, nafka, and every daughter inherits an inheritance. So there we already know that a daughter can inherit. So, why would the verse have to say, if there's no son, you give to the daughter? It's to say you give everything to the daughter. So it's apparently to say more than just that you give everything to the daughter. It's to say that only in this case the daughter gets, and when there's a son, the daughter doesn't get anything else.
I see a nice pasuk. That first the pasuk said, we're not talking about the dad, and here, Ishki Amut, and Tantemit Nachlato, Livno Velebito. I didn't even remember this pasuk. He's quoting here a pasuk. Maybe I'm.
No, the verse says, if he dies, Uven Ainlo. Va'avartemes nachlaso levito.
But it says, the pasuk is, ish ki avut untantemes nachlaso levito. Maybe that's not the pasuk?
Where is that pasuk?
No, he's saying it in the quotation, Rabbi, I'm sorry. So maybe he's not meaning it's a pasuk, because I don't remember from the Torah, but it's, if it's this pasuk from Mikra, Mechila.
Where is the bathroom? I went here. Ishki amut.
No, the question is, why doesn't it say that?
Huh?
It's not, there is no such verse. Why doesn't the verse say that? Nadu alone am I. Why doesn't it say that? Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Mehacha. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, this is the source that a son inherits everything when there is a son and a daughter. The verse says that the daughters of Tzlavchat said, "Lami garashim avinu mitoch mishpachto." Why should the name of our father be taken out of his family? Ki ein lo ben, if he doesn't have that, just because he doesn't have a son. So time of the ein lo ben. So clearly, they're only protesting and saying they should inherit because there was no son. Hayesh lo ben, but they are conceding that if there would be a son, habein kodem, the son would get everything. So the Gemara says, maybe Vidilma, but no Tzlavchad utkamer nachi. Maybe it's just the daughters of Tzlavchad saying that. But nitna Torah. But once Hashem says that the daughters of Tzlavchad do get nischad shalacha, then we have a new law that the son and the daughter are equal. El machvarta kedushin meikara. So no, the source is, as we've said earlier. Ravina Amar Mehacha. Ravina said from here. The verse says, we saw this already several times the last couple days. Unasatem es nachloso, you shall give his inheritance, lish'ero, to his relative, hakarov elav, who's close to him. Hakarov, the closest. Hakarov, karov kodem, you give to the closest relative. So the son is closer than the daughter. Umay kurva de ben mibas, how is the son closer than a daughter? Well, the same reasons why a son is closer than a brother. Sheben kam tachas aviv liyada ulistei achuza. The son can fulfill the role of father if father brought an amma ivriya to have yield with that woman, or if the father gives to Hekdesh, consecrates his field that he inherited from Yeshua, from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, if the son redeems it, it's as if the family redeemed it, and the family will now have it during Yovel. It won't go to the Kohanim. Whereas the daughter not. So Bas, Lav, that's not a proof. Yada, marriage, Bas, Lav, Bas, Yada. The daughter can't marry another girl, so she can't do Yud. Ste'achuzanami, and even the idea that if the daughter redeems the field, it's not considered that the family redeemed it. Ma'ai pir chagufu, this is only, it's only based on this question that we said earlier. Da'akaim le detana, the Tana knows, Klum Yeshimil Makum Shein Ben, the only reason you can have Yibum is where you don't have a son, but if you have a son, there is no Yibum, and that shows you that a son is closer than a brother. Well, that applies to a daughter too. If there's a daughter, there's no Yibum. So the daughter is closer than a brother, so a daughter would have the law of Steachuzah. She would redeem the field. It would be that the family redeemed it. Ella, so this is not a proof. Again, machvarta, you have to go back, kiddushanina meikara, to the answer that we gave earlier, and say, no, the reason why a son inherits when there's a son and a daughter, the reason why the son inherits all is not that the son is closer, the daughter is just as close. The reason why the son inherits all is because of the pasuk. The pasuk says that if there's no son, va'avartam es nachlas solubito, transfer the inheritance to the daughter, implying if there is a son, it goes to the son. All right, maybe possibility number four of how we know that the son gets it over the daughter if there's a son and a daughter. Maybe it's the following verse. The verse says about an Eved Kenani, a non-Jewish slave, is nachaltem osam livnechem achreichem, and you shall give it over to your sons after you. You'll give him as an inheritance to your sons after you. Vnechem, your sons. No b'noseichem, not your daughters. So I said, well, that's not always true. Vnechem doesn't mean sons. When the pasuk says, you know, keep the Torah, l'man yirbuyim eichem v'mei v'neichem, so that you will have long lives and your children will have long lives in the land. Hachanan b'neichem lo b'noseichem doesn't mean sons and not daughters. So I said, no, maybe there it's different. There it's just a bracha. Hashem's giving a blessing. You should have a long life in the land. It means sons and daughters. But maybe b'neichem generally does mean only sons.
Rabbi, in today's day and age, when we're writing out a will and we include
our daughters,
No,
we're not, because the way we do it is that we write the will as a gift. It's not so much that we are saying the inheritance won't be in the normal order. A person can give away his properties. I'm creating all sorts of obligations. I'm saying that, you know, there's an obligation on my son, there's an obligation on my property, that some of it ends up with my daughter, and if it doesn't, there'll be a fine. But we're restructuring it. It's a different... There's special language. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then just to finish up today's daf, we'll stop here, and we'll continue at this point. I don't know, we can finish. It's 6:26. We still have the time. A couple more minutes. Okay, so now the Gemara says, V'achim in Av, brothers from the same father, Nochlin Umanchilin, they inherit and transmit to each other. Minelan, how do we know this? It has to be brothers from the father. Amar Rabba said, Asya Achva Achim ibn Yaakov, there's a Gzeira Shava. It says about the children of Yaakov that Anachnu ibn Yish Echad were the children of one father, and we are Achim, we are brothers. So too, a brother speaks from a father. So Malahalan, just like there when they speak to Yosef, it's Minahad that they say that they're brothers because they're all from the same father, Vlomanaim, they didn't have the same mothers. Afkan, so when the Torah says you give it to a brother, it's mina'av, alomina'im, a brother from the father, not from the mother. Valamli, what do I need this? Gzeira Shava, Achim, Achim. We had what we said earlier. Mishpachto, V'yarash Osa, from his family he will inherit her. Ksev, the Pasuk says, and we know, Mishpachas Avkriya Mishpacha. A relation of father is family. Mishpachas Emina Kriya Mishpacha. So Gemara says, you're right, Eina Chanami, that's correct. We don't really need this Gzeira Shava, Achim, Achim. In regards to Yibum, that if a brother dies without children, his brother marries his widow, that's only a brother from father. How do we know it's brother from father, not brother from mother? That's the Gzeira Shava. But the word Achim is in reference to brothers from a father, and here it says the word Achim. So we see what the definition of the word is. But in regards to inheritance, that it has to be brothers from father, it's because the Torah talks about inheritance to family members. And family has to be through father, through mother. It's not called mishpacha.